This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500. Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, in studio here with the familiar voice of my cohort in crime on Mondays, the McKendry Bearcat Division II ice hockey head coach, Gary Henson. What's going on, buddy?
Good morning, Cromes.
A little somber voice there, which I can understand. I know all of Blues NHL Podcast Nation was pulling for you, and you guys went down there and took care of business in the first game and fell a goal short in the second game as you guys were looking to head to an opportunity for a national title. It's never an easy thing, but as a coach, I know it's something that you deal with, and I know it's easy to say move on from is you're not going to do that, but the reality of it is you'll live to fight another day, and sad to see some of these other guys go, but you're in the business of always improving, correct?
That is correct. Today, you know, we went over the video of the game, kind of talked to some of the returners about things we need to see. We don't really take too much of a break. I gave them a little bit of time off, you know, but I met with them early today. So yeah. We want them always thinking about, you know, how to improve and move forward from here. I don't want them dwelling on the loss too much. But, you know, it hurts. It stings. Everybody's going to feel it a little bit. But we won 17 in the last 18, so that's not bad.
Well, you did some amazing things. You can hear Jamie and Darren and Cam Jansen that we had an opportunity to be with last Thursday at Minner Arena. You know, we were talking about, you know, he had mentioned that, you know, he had heard you on the show a few times and was real impressed with what you're doing over there. Making a name for yourself in the community, you should be really proud of yourself. I think you've kind of jumped on this St. Louis hockey hotbed thing and turned it into your own little thing over there, and good for you.
Well, thanks. We're going to keep it going.
Yep.
We'll be better next year.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's got to be where it's at, right? Get better or what's he say? Get busy living or get busy dying in Shawshank Redemption.
Yes,
so
he does.
It's always a good thing. Speaking of getting busy, let's remind everybody that we are the Blues NHL Podcast. We encourage you to check out bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you'll find the podcast just in general. You can listen to back episodes if you so desire. It's also where we'll release this one every week. The best part of the website, though, and the easiest thing to do is subscribing to the show is where it's at. If you're familiar at all with kind of how the podcasting thing works, once you've subscribed, and it is free, by the way, you'll just get a little notification each time the show is ready to be listened to. It's easy to do. You just go to bluesnhlpodcast.com. If you're on your PC or your desktop, you'll see to the right, you can just click subscribe to the podcast. If you're on your mobile device, you'll just scroll down one page, click subscribe to the podcast. Very painless, take less than a couple of minutes. That's the best way to stay in tune with what we're doing. Of course, we love social media. STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us on Twitter. Love Twitter because people get passionate quick and fast on Twitter. I almost call it like the drunken state because people tend to say things rather quickly when they're upset and when they're happy, and that gives us a lot of material to talk about. We love it. So don't forget to follow us at STL Blues Podcast. As I always say, if you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back because we want to know what you're thinking. We don't need to have 100 people that we follow and have 2,000 or 3,000 people that follow us. We're happy to follow thousands of Blues fans. So if you're a Blues fan, you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Of course, Facebook's great as well. Don't forget that. Blues NHL podcast. Just type it in the search bar and you will find us, I promise. Of course, couldn't do the show without lineupmedia.fm. The media world is changing. Radio's kind of going away, and as it goes away, people want to listen to what they want to listen to and when they want to listen to it. Check out lineupmedia.fm. Tons of different types of entertainment options, and I'm sure you'll find something else besides our wonderful Blues show to take up your entertainment time. Let's get back to Gary here as we touch a little bit on the mandated five-day break. I have a million thoughts on this thing. I got to be honest with you. When somebody brought it up to me, I remember looking at him going, well, I mean, don't they always kind of schedule every year? I just remember thinking, okay, yeah, mandated five-day break. What are you talking about? I guess I had my head buried in the sand. But I remembered they've always had like a little break because, you know, I remember Blues teams of the past leaving, like maybe going out to California for a few days, like on a road trip, and then they'd play golf and have these team bonding. And but the one thing they could do on this little break of theirs was skate. So I ask you, Gary, as a head coach, how in the hell in February, at the end of February, when you've got the however many games left and you're trying to make the playoffs, is it even remotely a positive thing to tell a bunch of pro hockey players, oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to touch your equipment for 4 days? Tell me how that's a good thing.
Because it's late in the season and they're banged up and they need a break. That's why.
But like
it's a simple, and I know you're going to tell me the teams that
I'm not
going to
tell you that.
You're going to tell me.
I'll let Jamie, we've Barron, and Cam tell you that.
Well, I know what's going to, you're all going to say the team comes back is like 4-12 this year.
Well, they are.
I know
well,
that. I know that. But it's these guys, what do you want them to do? Skate? Like, are you think they're going to forget? Is that what it is? They're going to forget the systems they run. They're going to forget the PK, the power play. They're not going to forget any of that. It's a time to take a breath before maybe going into what is considered by almost everyone in sport the most and the hardest tournament there is. And that's the Stanley Cup Championship. So,
okay, so let me get this straight then. So, your thought on this might be, okay, lost today, but the overall benefit may be better. Is that what we're to believe?
Yeah, but I don't think they're expecting to lose either. Somebody's going to have to go back and show me that it's been notoriously bad on teams coming back from a break, their win percentage.
Well,
because 1 year does not make a sample. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It doesn't.
I'll be honest with you. I really find it hard to believe that a guy that's a hockey coach in your stature, I'm just being honest with you.
I know that.
Would ever at any juncture think that it's at all positive at any time during a season for all of his players to not touch their equipment for 4 days?
So now listen, you got to take it relative. I've told our guys not to touch it for 2 days.
I'll give you two.
Well, that's relative to them. We play Friday and Saturday. Okay?
Okay.
So there's times where we've been battling, and then we have, you know, guys get hurt. They're big and they're moving fast.
I'll give you that. And again, that's my argument. Hey, there's got to be some. Listen, the players' union did this for a reason. There's a reason for it, right? I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm assuming
it's the same reason the baseball did it.
Okay,
baseball's got what? You get a day off every so many games or days.
There's more coming, by the way. But the truth of the matter is, these guys are in a playoff hunt, and they just took 4 days and hit a beach. And I get it, but that's fine. I'm not here to dissect that down to no end. I would rather let the expert himself break it down. Let's take it on over and hear from the man himself, as I'm sure a lot of Blues fans out there that have been anxious to get some hockey back are interested on his take. I want to remind everybody that Jamie's pissed or Jamie's GM chair, whatever Jamie's feeling, is always brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, his good friend Sean Vincent and the gang over there. Remember, you can chat live with a loan officer at vincentmortgage.com and get the information you need instantly. Visit vincentmortgage.com, click chat with a mortgage expert. You can connect live and in real time to one of their professional loan officers. If you're looking to get qualified for a new home in 2017, just call Vincent Mortgage and get pre-qualified. It takes less than 5 minutes. You guys know the number. Everybody knows it by heart. It's 314-839-9999. Or, of course, you can just visit vincentmortgage.com. But, of course, it's time to visit with the man himself, Jamie Rivers. Jamie, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, you know, I hate to say that I think we expected it to go that way, only because if you look at the numbers, that this coming off this bye week has not worked out very well for these guys. I know the players' union negotiated this, and I think I understand why they did it, but, boy, it sure just isn't working out for the team coming back.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, I can tell you that I just think it's one more reason. It gives teams a reason to, you know, complain about this bye week is because of the losses. And I get it. You get time off 5 days. But, you know, in 5 days, you don't forget how to play hockey. And it's just plain and simple. So I see it as an excuse thing more than a reality. I know right now the numbers support the reality of it. But quite honestly, you know, I remember we had 3-4 day breaks when I was getting started. And in the minors, when I was in the American League, sometimes you only played weekends. So you'd have 5 day breaks in between playing games and things like that. So I don't know. I think there's got to be a way for these guys to stay on task and stay focused during these bye weeks so that they're ready to go. And, you know, maybe the Bahamas or Jamaica is maybe not on task, as we've seen some of the pictures from guys all over the place. And I'm not blaming them for it. I mean, hey, we talked about it before. If I was younger back in the day, I would have taken full advantage of 5 days off somewhere in the Caribbean where no one could find me. So, you know, would just be one of those things. But, yeah, you know, I thought overall the Blues yesterday, they came out looking like you said, a team that had been away for a while and maybe not quite game sharp. But I'll tell you what I did like. And what I did like was that they didn't just roll over and play dead. You know, they kept at it. And I think this is where you might be seeing a difference in the team under Mike Yeo, under Steve Thomas, two guys that are real positive guys, Rick Wilson, you know, three guys that are former players that can communicate with the guys and maybe their philosophy of the effort, you know, bringing it all the time. Maybe that's starting to actually hit home with them because they did fight back. They clawed back, and so unfortunately they lost in the end, but they had done enough to be in that game and probably once again should have got a point out of it. It sucks they didn't, but if you're going to pull positives out of that stuff, quite often you pull the positives of we didn't just take an ass kicking. We kind of fought back, and we made it a game, and we almost stole a point. So for me, if I'm Mike Yeo and I'm the leadership of that group, that's what I isolate after all this.
Yeah, I don't know how many fans are really on the down low with the 5 day break, but a lot of people I don't think realize this. I guess as part of the deal, they're not even allowed to skate for like the first 4 days or something like that. So I think we understood it, but I'm with you on it. I thought they played better as the game went. I felt like a point was there to be had. They didn't get it. Now, in the end, did the days off, did we have some bumps and bruises maybe we got taken care of? Maybe so. Obviously, you and I and Kimby talked a little bit about the Barbashev issue last week. Sure would have been nice to have him in the lineup. Hopefully we'll have him back. But on the whole, you know, if they did get some bumps and bruises, I don't know. But we just got to go forward from here. You know, the one thing that's going to continue to hang over our heads, but not much longer, is our good friend Shaddy and what's going to happen with him. I guess you may not have any dirt you want to share with us, but I guess maybe you can at least give us your thoughts or feelings.
Yeah, no, you know, I don't want to necessarily call it dirt. I think there's information that's available to certain people, and I happen to be on the inside of some of this. And, you know, like we've discussed before, he's in a situation that will be the only time in his career where he can really, really dictate what he wants for the next step, you know, financially, as far as the term goes, the destination, all of these things. Because when this contract matures at the next one, he's going to be, you know, somewhere in the 33 to 36-year-old range, and nobody's given a 7 or 8 or 6-year deal to a guy like that normally. So, you know what? He's being responsible about this. He's not just jumping at every opportunity. And he's not, you know, if you read some of the stuff, he's not trying to make it difficult on the Blues. But at the end of the day, Kevin Shattenkirk has to worry about Kevin Shattenkirk when it comes to the off-ice stuff. Because if the Blues traded him tomorrow, they're not going to go to him a year from now and say, hey, yeah, I'm really sorry you got hurt. We're going to give you an extra 6 years of compensation because you were a hell of a guy for us. You know, and I'm being, you know, a little bit facetious with that, but that's the truth. I mean, nobody's coming to knock on his door and offer him money if things don't work out. So he kind of has to look out for himself on this one and make sure that he does the right thing. So, you know, I see the difficulties here, and I see some of the fans are pissed and all that. I think they just have to realize that Shattenkirk loves St. Louis. He fucking loves it here in St. Louis. And he doesn't really want to leave. But his hands are kind of tied on this one, which brings me back to, as always, like I said, I don't know why we're not trying, and they might be behind closed doors, so it may be unfair to say they're not trying, but I would really take a go at this. And, you know, I think I would offer him an 8-year deal at $50 million. It's a huge number. I know it is. But that averages out to like $6.25 million a season, and a salary cap hit that's a lot lower than a $7 million salary cap hit. And you know what? Shatty, you get an extra year on your deal because the Blues are the only team that can give you the 8th year. So maybe they're tossing it around. I'm not sure. As we draw closer and closer here, it looks like it's either going to be the Blues that re-sign him or hang on to him and lose him, I guess, or try to deal him for anything, because the value for him gets lower and lower and lower the closer we get to the trade deadline, no matter how good he's playing. You know, right now they're staring at maybe a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, and no disrespect to the draft and to the junior players and players around the world, but this is a really weak draft coming up. So a first or second round or even a third rounder may not be worth very much at the end of the day, even if you get that back in return for Kevin Shattenkirk. So it's a real tricky situation. The combination of everything involved puts the Blues in a tough spot and certainly puts Kevin Shattenkirk in a tough spot. But I like the way he's playing. You can't look out on the ice and tell me that he's not giving it everything he's got every shift. I know he is. Coach Mike Yeo has said over and over again that he likes what he sees out of him. He said he's always working hard, no different treatment, and certainly not expected. So it will work itself out sooner than later. I just think that it just sucks that sometimes it has to be this way.
You know, I got to tell you, I thought the way he handled himself in the article in the St. Louis paper, I thought he did a great job. And I think the thing that he did that was amazing was he was honest. You know, he didn't sugarcoat anything. He said, listen, I understand the fans aren't happy. I get it. But instead of like instead of even deflecting, he was just flat out honest. Look, I understand it's a tough situation. I'm in a tough situation. I'm not going to act like they shouldn't be upset. It's the same fans that cheer me when they're here that are upset because they love this team. I got to be honest. It was refreshing. As a fan, I found his comments in the paper to be refreshing, because instead of hiding or anything, he just came out and said the truth of what everybody was thinking. He kind of put it out there like, hey, yeah, this is a bad situation. I don't know what to do. I guess in a week we'll all know where we stand and we'll deal with what happens. I thought it was great.
Yeah, look, that's one of the reasons I love Kevin Shattenkirk. And I know it's no surprise probably to anybody who listens to the show that he's one of my favorites. And it's not just hockey related. He's a hell of a guy. Like, I mean, off the charts, good guy. He's the kind of guy that I've told you before, Cromes, that, you know, he sees me and he asks me how my boys are doing. He remembers when they were skating with these guys during the lockout and, you know, they were just little turds out on the ice. And still, every time I see him, he's like, how are the boys doing? Oh, my God, they must be getting big. You know, like, he doesn't have to do that. And it's not just me. He does it with everybody. He's a great guy. Everybody in the organization loves him. Fans are probably a little prickly right now, but at the end of the day, fans do love him, and they should all love him because he's a leader. He plays hard. He's a great guy. Says hi to everybody at the Scott Trade Center, whether you park the cars or whether you're the ownership. You don't get treated any differently by Kevin Shattenkirk. So that's why, going back to the ending comment of my last thing here, was like, it just sucks, yeah. Period, dot.
Well, I'll tell you, I, again, I, you know, I don't know that the fans are necessarily prickly with him. I think they're just prickly with the situation. I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know, I'm not – I don't want to be unhappy for Patrick Berglund signing his deal, but, you know, it almost seems like – it almost seems like they locked up the lesser of the two because one was realistic and one was – I don't know. As a Blues fan, I just think they're frustrated right now, Jamie.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what? Look, I've been very honest regarding the Patrick Berglund situation as well. And we joked, you know, kidded, kind of poked around the obvious that, oh, yeah, it was really convenient for him to have a great year, his contract year. Little did I know, quite honestly, that this was going to follow up with a five-year extension literally days after we talked about it. So I think he's worthy of an extension, though. See, that's the thing is I think he's worthy of it. I don't think he's 5 years worthy, and it's not just because – it's not nothing to do with Patrick Berglund. It has everything to do with 5 years is a long time. And he's not a rookie anymore, you know. So the last 2 years of that deal – you might be staring down the barrel of a gun looking at it going, oh, my God, I wish we wouldn't have done this. You know, and that's why, just not to beat a dead horse, but that's why I circle back up to, you know, the Shattenkirk deal. If you're going to do that with a player who, in my opinion, has an impact, but he's not, you know, one of the biggest impacts on your team, why would you not go the extra mile and lock up what is, not arguably, he just is the best puck-moving point getting defenseman the Blues have. So, you know, congratulations to Berge. He's having a good season. He's a hell of a guy. I'd drink beer with the guy any day of the week. You know, but I think the 5 years should have been 3 years. They should have found a way here to – they should try to find a way to keep Shatty here as well.
Well, I'm kind of perplexed because, like I said, I'm with you on this. I think there was a definite need to try to keep Shatty. And, again, I'm with you. I'm hoping there are things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about and they're trying to keep him. I guess in some way, shape, or form, my hope as the fan is that they don't get a good enough offer that they look at this and say, we'd be basically giving him away for nothing. We got to keep him, and we got to find a way to keep him permanently. So that's my hope there. Hey, I got to ask you something. Social media was abuzz this weekend, and I saw you jump in on it. There is an unbelievable video going around of Mr. Dunn up in Chicago for the Wolves. I mean, what an unreal spectacle. And it's just weird coming off the heels of our conversations Thursday at Minner's Arena. What an unbelievable thing going on up there. And, Jamie, you can't tell me you've never had any good experiences like that in the minors.
Oh, my God. All right. So I don't even know where to begin with some of this stuff. Now, in Chicago, which I played there, they have the runway that literally both teams go down. It's like looking at the Winter Classic when both teams are like walking side by side out to the ice, you know? Well, it's very similar in Chicago to where you're like 8 feet away from the other team as you walk to go out on the ice or as you're coming off after. So I can tell you from personal experience, we've had those encounters before. We had like a 3-on-3 brawl one time after we had a 5-on-5 brawl on the ice. We had guys running across the pavement, sparks are flying, we got bus drivers tackling people because, you know, they're jumping in and trying to help their players. Guys are getting their hands stepped on because they're skates. So when I saw this video, and someone sent it and said, oh, make sure you watch the whole thing, which is what I end up writing as well when I put it back out on Twitter, is I'm watching, I'm like, okay, well, there's really nothing. This is a couple of fights. I'm like, is this where we've really come to now? We're excited over, like, a fight? And then as Gabriel goes down the thing, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, they're in Chicago. And then the referee kind of holds back Dunn just a little bit, and then he heads down there. I go, this isn't over. This is, I'm waiting for it now. And then you see the Gabriel kid go over and like get in his face, like they walked across the concrete because that's what it is there, and he got in his face and like kind of jersey jabbed him in the face like once and then twice, and then all of a sudden you got boom, down goes Fraser. So it was awesome. I mean, and you got the, you know, you got the security guards that are running back there trying to tackle people and everything, and then the players out on the ice are watching the video on the big screen because there's the camera guy on down below. I mean, it was just, if that wasn't a big time, you know, old time hockey scenario, I don't know what is. And, you know, now you got Vince Dunn, who's sitting down in Chicago. He's a legend in St. Louis, and he hasn't even been here yet. So, you know, it's unbelievable to see that. We had so many of those back in the day. And, I mean, God, I remember my very first game in the American Hockey League. I get sent down, we're playing the Hershey Bears. It's funny, Hershey Bears are into my story again here. But we're playing them in Worcester, Massachusetts, and we have a 2-3 guys fight. I end up fighting one of the guys, Sean McCosh is their captain. And I don't know if he knew who I was. I didn't know who he was. No matter, at the end of it, I had cut him open just a little bit over the eye. And, of course, you know, I wanted to remind him of that as he was skating by the penalty box. And so he jumped into the penalty box on our side and came after me in the penalty box. And what happened then was all five guys on the ice from both teams came piling into the one side of the penalty box. And first of all, you can't even throw a punch at that point because there's no room for your arms or anything. You're literally trying to hammer fist somebody because you got no way to throw a punch. And then they looked beside me, and I got the guy who's working the penalty box, like some 70-year-old man who is just volunteering his time, and he's got, you know, 200 pounds of player for each guy in there times 10. So he's looking at 2,000 pounds of player that are coming down almost crushing him. So I go from, like, trying to knock someone out to trying to just create a barrier for this old man so that he doesn't die in the penalty box. And then we got, you know, the Worcester police that are coming in from behind and lifting the glass out. And first their order of business was to pull the old man out of the penalty box so he didn't get crushed in there. And then literally the cops jump into the penalty box from the outside of it and are trying to, like, pull guys apart. So, I mean, we had several situations like that occurred. And so watching the Vince Dunn thing, it just brought back a lot of memories. And I was giggling more than I was in shock over the whole thing.
Well, for me, as a fan, you're sitting there watching this thing, and you kind of know how it goes. And if you've ever skated at all, I mean, you can't walk on concrete and skates and then skate again. It was like, I was wondering, like, is that concrete? And it's almost like, screw it, I'm going. They can sharpen my skates later. I mean, it was just a melee of all melees. And, again, I thought the greatest part was at the end. You see them pan back out to the ice, and everybody's looking up at the screen and banging their sticks. It was phenomenal. It was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. You got Craig Berube, the chief himself, who, you know, never backed down from any fight in his life. So he's probably watching that going like a proud papa, like, yeah, that's my boy.
Oh, know? Man. Like, let me tell
that's
you.
That's a situation that he would, I guarantee, I know Craig Berube has been in that situation before. So, yeah, it's crazy. And then I got one more quick one for you. And I know Mondays are our shorter show, but
they never work out that way.
One.
So go ahead.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to go. Since my name's on the show, I'll just keep going.
Yeah, just keep going.
I was in lockout year 2004, it was. And the Hershey Bears, imagine that, Chromes, the Hershey Bears.
Again.
So this is like another Hershey Bears story. And this was when I signed a contract to play with them independently in the American League so that I could get some ice time because the NHL was locked out. Well, we're in Providence, Rhode Island, playing against the Providence Bruins, and they got a pretty tough team. We have a pretty tough team. Cody McCormick fights a little guy, a little sawed-off guy named Brendan Walsh. Now, Brendan Walsh is like, I think his life was based off the character that Joe Pesci played in Casino, where he'd like literally take a pen and stab somebody with it.
That's hysterical.
Oh, yeah. So they fight out on the ice, and then the hallway in behind, seriously, 20 feet away were the dressing rooms in the tunnel underneath. And these are old buildings, and so it wasn't like set up for, you know, any kind of security. There weren't any cages or anything. So we're all on the bench, and they get escorted off the ice. All of a sudden, our backup goalie, who didn't have enough room to stand on the bench, so he had to stand, like, in the aisle beside us, he goes running back down into the tunnel. And then you see like three, four guys from their bench go running back down into the tunnel. And at this point, I'm a veteran guy on this team. I know what's going on. So I'm like, let's get in the tunnel, boys. So the bench is clear, but they go down into the tunnel behind everybody where you can't see. So you've got both teams in the corridor with like a scene right out of Braveheart going on, and guys are swinging, and there's nobody to break it up because nobody can get in there unless they shoot someone, and they're not doing that. So everybody's swinging away. And when things finally come down to a simmer and some cooler heads start to prevail or guys get tired or whatever it is, all of a sudden we hear the crowd going nuts. We're like, what the hell? Are they watching it? You know, we didn't see any cameras. So we go back out to the benches, both teams. It's like it's craziness. And there's the goalies, the two starting goalies. They were the only two left on the ice after everybody went down into the tunnel to fight. And they had decided, well, screw it. We're going to go center ice, take off the buckets, and we're going to fight. The only two guys out there, no referees, nothing. And one of the guys actually is Peter Budaj, who was with the LA Kings this year and just got traded for Ben Bishop. He was our goalie in Hershey. And he was fighting Tuukka Rask.
Oh, boy.
Who was the goalie for the Bruins team. So you want to talk about, you know, some crazy stuff. This is one of those things. And so we're all standing on the bench now, and the referees are trying to make it back out on the ice through all of us numbskulls. And the goalies are going like toe-to-toe out there. And then Peter Budaj like lands one and drops Tuukka Rask and literally just stops, looks at him, picks him up, you know, hand in hand, picks him up. They like kind of pat each other on the head. Head back to their nets and put their masks back on. Like, okay, back to business now.
Jiminy Christmas. You know what, though? The fans had to love that, though, really. And again, we talked about it Thursday. You know, the fans love stuff like that. I understand that sometimes it can – you guys had mentioned it. Sometimes it can get comical or staged. But, man, when things just happen like that, those are the stories that I'm – and, again, I guarantee you over a couple of cocktails, you've probably got those stored up way back in the memory bank, many, many of them. But that's a good one for sure.
Oh, my God. There's a lot more than that, too, Chrome. I swear to God, I could bore you to death with some of these ones we had back in the day. And I can only imagine what Kimby had there out in the Saskatchewan Penal League that he played in. I'm sure he's got a few beauties, too. So I can't wait for him to comment on this, which I know he will. But you know what? At the end of the day, after all the laughter, after all the kind of cool stuff about it, it says a lot about a guy. You know, and it's not like it was a challenge or a big thing, but the guy walked over across the concrete and kind of jabbed him twice. You see it clear as day. He popped him like twice, and then it's like done. Just said, you know what, I've had enough of this crap, and boom, and dropped him.
I know,
it
was
awesome.
How
often does that happen where
no, awesome.
You just drop a guy like that?
Awesome.
So,
well,
it
my
was great. It, to me, it was almost like a mic drop.
No,
like,
it was.
Yeah, I'm done.
It was good. It was good. Priceless. Good stuff, man. I'm glad you were able to come on today. Like I said, I know, you know, we finally got our hockey back. We'll get into a little bit of a groove here starting tomorrow night, and then it's playoff push time. By the time we reconvene on Thursday, we will know our fate, even in the immediate future, anyway, with Mr. Shattenkirk. But hopefully, it's not a solemn day around here on Thursday.
Nah. Either way, I think it's going to work out. I think it'll be fine. You know, if he gets traded, we're going to wish him nothing but the best because he's a hell of a guy. And if he sticks around, then all the more reason to try and help convince him to stay here long term. So yeah, I think we're looking at both of those things.
I know St. Louis always loves the opportunity to talk athletes into staying. So you never know. We may see that. Thanks a lot, Jamie. Appreciate you taking the time, bud.
Anytime, Chrome. Thanks for having me, bud.
That's Jamie Rivers, as you can hear each and every week here on the Blues NHL podcast. Of course, you hear him in studio on Thursdays along with my partner in crime, Darren Kimball. We do appreciate when he does have the time to call in on Mondays and kind of help us out with this weekend edition. Speaking of help, we need a lot of help around here. Gary, would you not agree?
I agree.
We need lot of help. And then when you need help, who do you call? Our own sharpshooter, Angela Sharp. What's going on?
Hey!
There
hi,
she
guys.
Is.
Hi. She said hi, guys.
Say I
hi.
Said hello.
Oh, hello.
How are we?
We're She's, great. How are you guys?
See how excited she is to have hockey back tomorrow night at the Scott Trade Center.
I hear
am, it. You guys. That was a long 5 days, and then, you know, last night didn't really turn out too well for us. So, yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow night's game.
I think, you know, our listeners want the groundbreaking news. So they want to know, like the players, did you spend your 5 days off on a beach?
No, you know, I didn't get to go to a beach. I didn't go skiing like some of the other guys. I was here working my other job. So I'm just excited to be back at the Scott Trade tomorrow night and hear Blues fans yell, "Let's go Blues."
It's that time. It's playoff push time. But it's also, as we just talked to Jamie about, we are now, you know, we've talked about this day. It's kind of been a little off in the distance, and yet we're getting a little closer. Unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, over the break comes news of, you know, there were some trade things with Shaddy that didn't work out. Now here we are, and let's face it, Angela, by the time we do the regular edition of Blues NHL podcast here in a few days, Kevin Shattenkirk will either still be a member of the Blues or he will be gone, and there's not a darn thing you or I can do about it.
That's right. I mean, you know, that's kind of a good way to look at it. Us as fans, we don't get a call on that. So, you know, you can be for or against the trading of him, but either way, it's not up to us. But, I mean, you can't blame the guy for turning down certain contracts. I mean, I know as Blues fans, we want the best that we can get to trade him. So, like, if we're going to trade him, we want to get the best in return. And I saw that a lot of Blues fans were kind of giving him some grief, you know, throwing a little shade his way because they didn't like the fact that he said no to that extension. But you really can't blame the guy. I mean, this is his time to see what he can get and to go where he wants to go. So, I mean, I don't blame him for that. I don't know if you guys do, but I don't.
No, and, you know, Jamie and I actually touched on it, and I don't want to put words in you or Gary's mouth right now, so I don't know if you saw the article in the paper, but, you know, he did the article in the STL paper, and I thought he handled it awesome. He basically, you know, if you didn't get to see it, he basically said, look, I know the fans aren't happy about this. This is not a great situation. I expect them to not be happy. I hope they understand that my situation's really no better. I have to be this way because this is my one time to do this. I would love to do anything. You know, he basically said all the things that you should say and more, which I think we as fans appreciate when a guy doesn't either A, go into a shell, or B, tell us something that we know is not true. I mean, he didn't sugarcoat it. He said, listen, this is not a good situation. This stinks. Okay? I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that article, but that doesn't surprise me. I think I've told you guys before that the way that he handles the fans in every situation has always impressed me. So that doesn't surprise me, but I didn't get to see that article. So I'm glad that he came up just like I thought he would.
Yeah, it's very well done. And like I said, it gave him an opportunity to, you know, without saying it, and heck, I could be wrong, he may have even said it. It was almost his way of saying, look, I'm sorry. I really
You're
am
right.
Because I genuinely appreciate everything you guys have done for me. And he even said, it's the same people that are cheering for me during a home game. I get it. I know they're not happy. He goes, I would expect, and this is where I thought he really caught all of us Blues fans and really felt us. He said, listen, it's why you love your team. I get it. You are trying to make your team better. So you want to get, he said things that a lot of times we didn't get those cliche, hey, look, I'm just trying to play game. Let me, you know, he didn't give us the old,
right,
agent handle that. Talk to my agent. He didn't
do
that.
Right. Talk to my agent. He didn't do that. Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, he just seems, at what little I get to interact with him off the ice, he just seems like a really good person just throughout. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
Now, we just brought you on, Angela, and you did not hear Gary and I's conversation before this. So we're going to find out right now whose team you're on, okay? You ready? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm so worried. I missed this. Okay.
Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you a question, as Jim Carrey would say.
Think before you speak.
Yes. Okay. So let me ask you a question, Angela. Now, knowing that Gary's the hockey coach, okay, and you and I are fans, okay? But we know enough to be dangerous too, right? Do you think it's a good idea at any time, much less the end of February when you're trying to make a playoff run, do you think it's a good idea to tell 20-something guys in the NHL, you cannot touch your equipment for 4 days. Now, if you'd like to take a second and think about your answer, but do not let the fact that Gary and I are in total disagreement on this sway you in any way.
I did not realize you guys are in total disagreement, and I don't know how this is going to go over when I pick.
Just be honest. Speak from your heart.
I got to tell you, I mean, because, you know, they practice all the time, and because they work all the time, I mean, do I think there should be a rule that they don't get to touch their equipment for 4 days? No, but do I think they need to take a little break away and during, I mean, that was the whole purpose of those 5 days.
Boy, this sounds like
that is such a politician answer.
Yeah, we want an answer
to the question. We want the truth.
For us. I don't like where the 5 days hit for us, but if the whole purpose of the 5 days was for them to take a break, then okay, I don't like there being a rule. I mean, you do as you want in your off time. If you want to play around with beer hockey, you do what you want to do. But if the purpose is to make it a break, then yeah, it's a break. And I don't know whose side did I pick.
My side.
I don't know that you really did.
I don't know if you really picked a side.
I think you
did. Here's what I said.
I think you kissed your sister is what I think you did here.
I think I said it was okay. I said it was okay to not touch your stuff for 4 days.
And I said, by evidence of the fact that teams afterwards are like 4-12-4.
They're using one year. You got to go back 10 or 20 before I'm going to buy into that.
Okay.
Okay. I see both of your points. Obviously, you just
stated both of them in your answer.
But, yes, I mean, knowing that the other teams who had this break came out of it poorly, I don't think should change the way that you operate those. I mean, if the purpose of the break was for the guys to have the break, then give them the break.
Nice. Well said, Andy.
Okay, so I just want to get this straight. With everybody out in Blues Land or La La Land, God,
that's too soon.
Saying La La Land too soon after last night?
Wait, did you mean Moonlight?
No, I didn't mean Moonlight. Okay, so I just want to get this straight. Is everybody telling me that the way the Blues have done it in the past isn't a good idea for a five-day break? Take the team somewhere, skate, and then go have fun after you're done skating. I don't understand what's so wrong about that.
Why do you have them skate? I don't get that.
Because the people that really know what they're talking about say this is a bunch of crap.
Oh, whatever.
Well, I mean, they know how to skate. It's not like...
That's what I said.
Okay, how slow did they look out of the gate last night to you?
Well,
very. Very.
I didn't have high hopes. Because of the stats of other teams after the break.
Okay.
However, I think Jake played pretty great.
Yeah, I thought he played good.
So, I mean, and then plus we had Chicago right after our break. Of course, that's how that would hit us. I don't think we played as poorly as some people would have thought.
I don't think the stats of
other teams coming out of the break.
I thought after Pay-Arvey scored the goal to make it 2-1, I thought we played them pretty even, to be completely honest with you. I thought it was fine.
And then, I mean,
no issues.
He kind of came out of nowhere with that. So.
Well, he's been skating for 5 days. He was sent down to the minors.
I knew that was going to come up.
Hey, so what are you expecting from Blues fans tomorrow night? Just happy to have hockey back? I still look at our schedule, Angela, and I'm like, God, it seems like we're on the road all the time.
Well, we are. I mean, I think I counted the other day, and I think we have 9 more home games before the playoffs would hit. That's only 9 more home games because I was looking at my schedule. I mean, we are on the road so much more than we're at home. So I hope, if you're a huge diehard fan like I am, that you've looked at your schedule, counted the days, and, you know, we've got 9 games to playoffs. So if you want to get your kids in to see, you know, some hockey before the playoffs hit, you only got 9 games to do it in. So I'm hoping for a huge, excited, a lot of Blues fans there. I mean, I know if you're like me, I mean, all I want to hear is some Blues fans yell, "Let's go Blues." So I hope that we get a lot of that. And I hope the team comes out hard and comes out fast. And, you know, of course, we're going to win the game, of course.
Well, I'll give you that. So I got to put you on the spot now. Your gut feeling, is Kevin Shattenkirk a member of the Blues the next time we speak?
My gut feeling, or what do I want to have happen?
See, she's going to give us two answers again.
Come on.
Okay.
Are you running for mayor
right,
in St.
Here.
Louis and we don't know
is
it?
Will Kevin – okay, here, let me simplify it for you, Angela. Will Kevin Shattenkirk be a Blue the next time you and I speak?
I think it is obvious that the Blues organization is clearly trying to shop him around.
So again, she didn't answer, did she?
Mm-mm.
I think it's a yes or no question. I'm looking for a yes or no answer.
He it obvious that the Blues are shopping him around. So obviously if they get something they feel is worthwhile, they're going to sell him.
You know what the problem is here? And Jamie's going through the same thing. Jamie, you see, you guys, you, Jamie, you guys are around him. You guys deal with him. And by all accounts, he is a great guy, great teammate. And we talked about this when this whole thing started. He is the guy that the fans have kind of embraced. He is the guy that fans really enjoy.
Absolutely.
He loves that role as well. I just think people, you know who's not shy about it is Kimby. Darren Kimball's like, he's gone. He just says it. He goes, listen, you can sugarcoat it all you want. He's gone. So it's like, oh, God, it makes me want to throw up.
I mean, he is really, I mean, just off the ice, like I said, he's just a wonderful person. And he does. He interacts with all the Blues fans. And like you said, he does love that role. I think he's really taken to that role. I mean, I'm kind of the way David Backes, you know, took to that same kind of role. So I think it's going to hurt if come Thursday the Blues end up shopping around and getting something they want for him.
Well, you're right. It is going to hurt. But we'll deal with it, and only time will tell. But one of these days, I'm going to put you on the spot, Angela, and I'm going to – I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a double-sided answer when we ask you
–
when we ask you, who's the biggest jerk that the Blues ever had that you had to deal with? See, I know you won't tell us. See how that works? That's why we don't ask you that.
But I absolutely have a name in my head, but I won't tell you.
Well,
but the name popped up right away. So.
Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine. Hey, we'll start getting that. Hey, don't forget, folks, when you're out there, you can follow Angela Sharp on Twitter. Well, how?
Just my name, Angela Sharp. It's really easy. There's no spaces or anything. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
And we want to start seeing some sharpshooter selfies. Hashtag
absolutely
sharp shooter selfies. Hashtag. Let's do it. We'll get them up. We'll get them on the website. We'll share them around. Find Angela. It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Angela?
Where's
Although
Waldo?
You're everywhere.
Find Angela tomorrow.
Hey, I saw you at Mardi Gras. I mean, you're everywhere, girl.
I am everywhere. I try to be everywhere. It's fun to be everywhere.
Oh, yeah, it is. All right. That's our girl, Angela Sharp, with her sharpshooter report. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Let's go Blues.
That is Angela Sharp. See how she can brighten up the day there, G?
She did.
She did by agreeing with me.
No, she agreed with me.
No, I think she agreed with me.
Man, you're nuts.
I don't think so. I think
she 100% said it was okay for them not to touch their stuff.
But it was at a bad time. And listen, I think she agreed with
me. Those are disclaimers just so you don't
feel
bad.
As our friend Ocho Man says, she's with me on this one.
No, whatever.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe she agreed with me.
Right.
Hey, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts as fans out there. I don't know that people were very happy about it. There's a lot of things that this fan base is going through right now, trying to figure out what's going on. New news coming out from Brian Lawton, hearing Penguins and Capitals are locked in a fierce battle for Kevin Shattenkirk. If they're going to trade him, that's great news for Blues fans, because the reality of it is if we're going to get anything remotely close – to what this man is worth to our franchise, that's exactly what we need to happen, is we need 3, 4, 5 teams to feel like the missing piece is Kevin Shattenkirk, and they're going to be willing to overpay for him, because without him signing a long-term extension, we may get something for him. I'm not saying we're not going to get something for him, but I just can't see it being worth what he's worth. Am I wrong here?
No, I agree with you. I agree. What's going to kill me again, and you and I talked about it over the years, is if he goes to Washington, there's a real good chance that Oshie and him win a cup there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know it. You know it.
Well, that's the first time I've seen Washington. I mean,
I saw it today, but he's a important – he would be important to that team. And, you know, we watched Ian Cole win one last year. It just seems like Blues leave and then they win, so – that'd be a crushing blow.
I'm a little surprised, though, that and again, nothing against Kevin Shattenkirk. I think he's a great player, but you know, if I was Washington, I'd be going a different direction.
Oh, I don't know.
I'd like to see them get that playoff defenseman style guy. Because let's face it, what do they do?
Orpik.
But this is what they do, right? They score all these goals, and when the playoffs comes around and those goals aren't so easy to come by, they don't play the greatest defense.
Maybe that's why they want him.
It's and they're just going to
they're going to beat you.
Billy Papa theory?
Yeah, they're going to beat you.
Hey, look, I scored. Hey, you got him. You got him. I scored one goal. He didn't score any. Did you outscore your man? Because I played better defense than my guy.
Right.
No, it's that. I like that. Was always one of my favorites. Well, I guess we're going to have to see what happens. Got to put you on the spot. Kevin Shattenkirk here the next time you and I speak on about Blues hockey.
No, I think his fate was sealed by the announcement made Friday.
Yeah, I found that interesting. Where do you think that came from? You think that was Blues management? I hate to say this. I think Blues management had to leak it so that when they do trade him, they can say, look, we had deals in place where we would have got more, but he wouldn't agree to the extension, and we had to get something for him. That's why we didn't get as much as we could. I hate to say that. That's the dirty part of this business. That's my feeling. I have no inside information on that whatsoever. It makes absolutely zero sense for that to come out unless it was leaked by the Blues.
Absolutely.
I mean, no other organization benefits from it.
No.
So the only organization that benefits from this is the St. Louis Blues.
I think Friday's news was the nail in the coffin as far as his career in St. Louis.
And I'm going to say this. In this dirty business, if you want to call it, I got to be honest with you. I'm with the Blues. I think you got to tell people the truth. I think you have to tell them. You have to say, look, now, I don't think they've bad-mouthed him. I think Kevin's taken a high road. I think the Blues would say, look, we'd love to have him. We had a deal in place. Kevin didn't want to sign the deal. We're not going to get what we were going to get. I think everybody's laid their cards out on the table. Everybody's been honest here. I think Kevin Shattenkirk said it best. It sucks.
It does suck. The article was good that you referred to earlier. I thought he did a good job of apologizing but not apologizing, but I also think he did a good job of putting his perspective out there and articulating that to the Blues fans as, hey, kind of look at it from my point of view moving forward and what that means for my family and my life and all of that. And so hopefully there's some understanding there as well, but because he is a good guy, but he's not going to be here Thursday.
It's a shame. He did a great job with the fans. I liked having him around. If I'm not mistaken, I think he would help us going forward. I could, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, that have their own opinions about certain things and where it could be. But the truth of the matter is, I think the Blues are a better team with him than without him, and it's going to hurt. Of course, again, if you could get something back for him, I'll take it. But if the comeback's going to be minimal, it's going to hurt, guys. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to take the. I'll be the one lone guy. I think he's still here.
What?
Yep. I think they look at this thing and they say, "Here's my prediction for Kevin Shattenkirk. Are you ready?"
Yes.
They sign him.
To 8 years.
Yep. I agree with Jamie on this one. I think Jamie. I actually think the Berglund deal is why they're going to sign him, and let me tell you why.
Okay, I got to hear this.
Because they didn't pay Berglund that much. Now, a lot of people think Bergie's overpaid. That's not that much money by today's NHL standards.
It's 5% of the cap. The problem with your theory about him staying is they only have like $8 million in cap space.
Okay, but you got to hear me out on this.
Okay.
It is predicated upon them buying somebody out.
Who?
I think I'm not going to say.
Wouldn't
be prudent in this situation.
Okay.
But I think they're going to buy somebody out. That's right. What I think. In fact, I'm going to go on record and say they're going to buy two people out.
Two people?
I do.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I
think they realize they got a problem.
I'm anxious to see.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm anxious to see. I hope your theory comes true. Because I think there are some people on the team that aren't playing very well.
I think, in my opinion, here's what I really think.
Disappeared.
How about this? I think they sign him. They hope to lose certain people in the draft, the expansion draft.
Expansion draft, yeah.
And I also could see them trading somebody.
Really?
That probably wouldn't be real popular with a lot of fans, but I think it's necessary. Just an opinion.
Really? But you're not naming names.
I can't do that.
He named name.
I not name name. Because here's the problem. Here's the only problem with doing this show. If I say what I think, it comes across as
Jamie or Kim.
No, I'm not even that so much as doing whatever. It's just, listen, it's just what I think is going to happen. The names are really irrelevant. I think that somebody gets traded. Put it this way. At least somebody gets traded and somebody gets bought out, and I think Kevin Shattenkirk's a member of the team.
I hope you're right because it's a huge PR move for the Blues.
I think so too.
I think if you're right, it's helps ease the pain of the Oshie Backus thing. Because I think people are still feeling that.
Well, well, let's take it a step further. Oshie back as Brouwer, only because...
Well, Brouwer didn't have
but
the
he's,
same...
But he was inadvertently part of the Oshie deal. The problem is, I agree with you. The problem is, the reason I lump Brouwer in this, those were supposedly sold to you and I all these years ago. That was our cornerstone. And what do we have to show for either of those two guys?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
As George Costanza once said, nothing. And the segues of all segues, and Brad Lee, forgive me, another show about nothing. The St. Louis Game Time Report. I'm just kidding. This guy does an awesome job, Bradley. He joined us last week for our Cam Jansen event with Jamie and Darren over at Minner Arena. Brad came. He covered the event, and then he also jumped in on some of the discussion. I love talking to Bradley about sports. He puts out such a phenomenal paper, the St. Louis Game Time. I encourage everybody, if you've never had one, just check it out. It's $4. Find your vendor before the game out in front of Scott Trade. It's a great read. It's a fan read. That's why I love it. You're going to get some great stuff. You're going to get some funny stuff. You're going to get some real stuff. It's not going to be the same things you see in STL today, I promise you. Make sure you find them. Make sure you go to St. Louis Game Time. Check them out. Great stuff as always. Let's hear from Bradley.
Hello and welcome to the Game Time Podcast. I'm Brad with St. Louis Game Time. You can find us online at stlouisgametime.com, on Twitter at stlouisgametime, or you can find us in our paper that we sell outside every Blues home game, outside the garage, the 14th Street doors, and the northeast corner of 14th and Clark. Well, this is the week that the trade deadline arrives on Wednesday, and depending on when you're listening this, either Kevin Shattenkirk is still a St. Louis Blue, because it's before the deadline, or as what I think everyone has accepted for a while now, is that by 2 o'clock on Wednesday, Kevin Shattenkirk will be with a different team in the NHL. I think fans have a hard time relating to his situation. There was a lot of uproar over the weekend when it came out that he had nixed signing a contract extension with Tampa and possibly Toronto, depending on what rumor you believe, but that he turned down a 7-year deal worth $42 million, which would pay him roughly about $6 million a year. It probably would fluctuate over the course of the contract, but an average of $6 million a year for 7 years. Most fans think that would be a heck of a salary. I know I would. I would think that. But you have to remember, he's in a very unique position. Shattenkirk is 28 years old. He's a right-handed shot defenseman who is offensive-minded, who is really good at the outlet play and quarterbacking the power play. Granted, he has some limitations in his own end, especially if you want to put him on the left side, kind of out of position on his offhand, where he's honestly not comfortable, as we saw in the playoffs last year. So he's a solid player, a good player, a rare player with his combination of skill and vision and what he can do with the puck. With some warts, defensively speaking. I think fans think that a player who's going to make $6 million a year or more, since he turned that contract extension down, I think he's thinking either he doesn't want to play in Tampa or he thinks he's going to get more money somewhere else. I think fans have a hard time believing that a guy like him could get $6 or $7 million, but that's the way the market works right now. A guy in the prime of his career, really signing the only really big contract he's going to be offered during his entire career, he's going to want to test free agency, and he really is going to be in demand come this summer. Now, I think if you ask most people around the NHL, they would believe that Doug Armstrong, general manager of the Blues, would have gotten more for Kevin Shattenkirk at the deadline, or not at the deadline, but at the draft last year in June. Apparently, there were offers that were made to Edmonton, and if you look at the deal they did pull off, Adam Larson going from New Jersey to Edmonton for Taylor Hall, that very well could have been Kevin Shattenkirk for Taylor Hall, which would have been a grand slam of a trade and really answered some depth at wing that the Blues have, an issue that Blues have at wing, and put Kevin Shattenkirk in an interesting position where he would really be anchoring a pretty soft defensive core for Edmonton, but giving them a lot more juice on the power play and giving them an interesting aspect to their offense. Here's the problem. Since he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, anybody who's going to give up a player like Taylor Hall, anybody that's going to give up NHL-ready players is going to want guarantees that he wants to sign there long-term. They don't want to give up a lot of NHL-ready talent for a rental player who will leave possibly July 1st. I think it was pretty obvious that they talked to Jordan Newman, Kevin Shattenkirk's agent, and there was no discussion of a contract extension. That's why the trade with Edmonton didn't happen. That's why no trade at the draft happened. That's why no trade happened during the summer. That's why no trade happened during the beginning of this season or in December or last month when they changed coaches. And now that we get down to it at the trade deadline, it doesn't really look like they're probably going to get NHL-ready talent. But here's the deal. They can't let him walk for nothing like they did with Backes and Brouwer. I think since those guys were older in their 30s already, the return that they would have gotten at the deadline probably was not going to be substantial. And I can totally see where Doug Armstrong said, you know what, let's let it ride. And I think he even said at the time, we owe it to the guys in the dressing room who have put in so much work in the season to really try to make a run at the playoffs. And if we're going to do that, we're going to need David Backes. We're going to need Troy Brouwer. And that's what happened when they went to the third round. I don't think the Blues have the same outlook right now. When they fired Ken Hitchcock a few weeks ago, a month ago now, I guess, Doug Armstrong said that this was kind of a step back season. Maybe not necessarily a full rebuilding season, but a season where he fully expected them to step back because they had changed the style, they had changed the personnel, they had lost a couple of the veteran leaders that helped carry them to the third round of the playoffs last year. If that's really the case, and they're embracing that idea, there is no way that they can keep Kevin Shattenkirk to try to make a run in the playoffs only to lose him in the offseason during free agency. And it's not because he definitely wants to play in New York or Buffalo or wherever he might have it in mind to go to the East Coast somewhere. The fact is, he's making $4.5 million now and is going to take a raise of at least $3.5 million, maybe even $4 million. Who knows? Maybe even more. The Blues don't have that much room under the salary cap. If they sign Kevin Shattenkirk to a $7 million deal, they already have Alex Pietrangelo making about that much. They already have Jay Bouwmeester under contract for the next 2 years at $5.5 million. You're talking about $19, $20 million in three defensemen on a team that has a $70 million salary cap that has to pay Alexander Steen an increased rate. Jaden Schwartz gets a raise. Jake Allen gets a raise. Vladimir Tarasenko got a raise last year. The economics just don't work. So, yeah, he's going to be traded. They probably aren't going to get what they could have gotten, say, 6 months, 8 months ago. But hopefully, fingers crossed, that Doug Armstrong holds out for the best offer possible. And maybe the players that come this way towards St. Louis will be contributors in the next 2 years, where there still is a really nice window with players like Alex Pietrangelo, Vladimir Tarasenko, Jaden Schwartz. Those guys still right in the middle of their prime years of their careers. And able to contend for a cup basically with some of the younger guys coming up, hopefully acquiring some younger guys and or picks that turn into younger guys, or who knows what happens. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. On Friday, Patrick Berglund signed a contract extension. He signed for 5 years, $19 million. It was a little bit of a raise. He's still making less than $4 million a year. Some Blues fans might be frustrated because Patrick Berglund isn't the most consistent player the Blues have had in recent years, and his physical makeup makes you think that he should be a better player than he is. But I think he's found a role. He can center that third line. He can move up to the second line, possibly as a winger. He has the right size and body to go to the net, and when he goes to the net, he makes things happen. He scored 17 goals this year. Sure, it's troubling that his last assist came in December, December 28th against Philadelphia. He only has 7 assists on the season going into Tuesday night's game against Edmonton. Sure, you wish that he could distribute the puck better. He could be a number one center at some point. It's not going to happen. For what Patrick Berglund gives you as a hockey, on the hockey team, the role he's played and has fit in since he was healthy last year after shoulder surgery, I think this isn't an overpayment. I think you could argue, though, that giving a 5-year contract is a little excessive. It'll take him to age 33. And the weirdest part that we mentioned on Twitter on Friday after he signed the contract was if Berglund misses only about 100, 110, 120 games, at the end of that contract, Berglund would own the Blues record for most games played in franchise history. It wouldn't be Bernie Federko. It wouldn't be Brian Sutter. It wouldn't be Brett Hull. It wouldn't be Barrett Jackman. It wouldn't be Bobby Plager. It would be Patrick Berglund, the most games in Blues history. Yeah, it's weird. I admit it. It's weird.
He came up as a 19-year-old. Other than his shoulder injury, he's been pretty healthy his entire career. Is he the prototypical Blues player? Hell no. Is he who you think would own that mark? No, but you know what? We're not there yet, so we'll see what happens. But it will be interesting to see if he does come close to that mark, how Blues fans feel about it, and what his contributions are over his entire career. So it'll be interesting. Tuesday night, Edmonton's in town. Possibly the last game ever for Kevin Shattenkirk as a Blue. The deadline is 2 p.m. St. Louis time on Wednesday. And then come Thursday, who knows? Maybe the Blues have a little bit different roster. Maybe they make another deal. Who knows? Doug Armstrong has one more year in his contract. I think he is managing for his future with the Blues right now. How he comes out of the Shattenkirk deal, any other deals he makes at the deadline, really will set up this team for how they want to approach the offseason and the next 2 to 3 years. And maybe he won't be the guy making decisions for 2 or 3 years. Maybe he'll just be the guy for the rest of this year. Maybe they'll bring him back as a lame duck next year. Who knows? He has to come out of this trade before afternoon Wednesday with Shattenkirk looking like he did the best of the situation. And sure, he can make excuses. Shattenkirk turned down contract extensions, and when that happened, that nixed the trade. I get it. But this is the situation that Armstrong has been dealt. It's been no secret that the salary cap wasn't going to work after he gave the Bouwmeester a contract extension and after they signed Pietrangelo. This is something he's just kind of let fester. And if he gets burned and gets very little return or poor return, that's the situation that he made for himself. That's all for me. Like I said, I'm from Game Time, Brad Lee. It's been great giving this to you again this week. Check us out online, stlessgametime.com, and check us out, our fan run paper sold out outside every Blues home game. Jim, back to you.
Thanks, Brad. Good stuff as always. And again, I encourage you always, every home game, check it out. Check out your St. Louis Game Time report. Great stuff. Well, Jay, it's that time.
It is time.
What time is it?
It's time to go to the Blues
game. It feels like that should be the Happy Trails coming in to David Lee Roth. The, you know, Happy Trails to you.
Yeah, that guy's crazy.
He is crazy, but I like him. Hey, had fun today. And again, we are we're moving forward, onward and upward. Kevin Shattenkirk, I'm the only guy that thinks you're going to be here. Remember that.
I hope he hears that.
Yep. Can't do the show without the fans. Thank you so much. This is your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. This is the Blues NHL Podcast. We will see you Thursday.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.